This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
People over this Father's Day weekend stuck in airports with delays and flight cancellations, but this is becoming normal. Feds are thinking about going after the airlines and penalizing them if the disruptions continue. Will that really happen? The burn at the pump and the prices that have gone sky high because of so much that is missing off shelves and the effect that we're seeing with the high gas prices, inflation, and all of that mixed in have led to many restaurants having to close early because they don't have enough people to wait on the customers coming in and because they don't have enough customers coming in. Yikes. Oh, just a couple of days away from summer, and we're hot in many areas and in many ways. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining us here on the show. Let's talk about these delays. So while people were on the ground complaining about the heat, especially in the Midwest, where it was felt like triple digits in some cases, thousands of flights wound up being canceled and delayed during this Father's Day holiday weekend, also Juneteenth, because it's now an official holiday, as you know, so a lot of people are off on Monday. So a busy, busy travel weekend. 2.4 million people went through TSA checkpoints on Friday. The same day, the airlines had canceled more than 1,100 flights by early afternoon, 1,700 cancellations on Thursday, 6,300 flights, we get the idea, were delayed within that into a couple of hours or more. And it was nasty on Sunday, too. Thousands of flights went down or were delayed, and you know, it's the usual places. Hartsfield, Jackson, Atlanta International Airport, our biggest airport, JFK in New York, Chicago O'Hare. They had the most delays and cancellations, so it was really, really tough. And why is this happening? Staff shortages, pilot shortages especially, because they've canceled many of the airlines' flights already for the summer because they don't have people to fly. Delta even published an open letter to customers acknowledging the labor shortage and their frustrations with canceled and delayed flights. And is it going to get any better, or will there be fines for the airlines? There's some discussion about that possibility. And look, we have other holidays that are coming up. One of the biggest, of course, is 4th of July. A lot of times people will travel then. Kids are off of school. That is a time when you get extra days off in traditional type of jobs, or in a lot of jobs, let's just put it that way, right? So if we continue to have all these disruptions, what is our Secretary of Transportation going to do? Well, Pete Buttigieg is saying that might be what they have to do, that because of these disruptions and what's happened, they're going to wait and see what happens over the 4th of July holiday weekend and the rest of the summer before deciding whether to step up enforcement against the airlines. But they're threatening that that's a possibility, right? And one of the things that's been suggested is, what about hiring more customer service reps to help passengers rebook canceled flights or get refunds? That would be smart, because what happens is you get on this loop, it gets canceled, and forget about rebooking because everybody's trying to rebook and you can't get through. I mean, that's the frustration for a lot of people. And this is all part of what's wrapped into what's going on. So now people are holding off on booking flights because of that. They're holding off on replacing roofs. They're holding off on all kinds of things because of the money. I mean, over the past couple of weeks, households have had to really, really cut back on especially big ticket purchases because of the prices, right? and putting the brakes on even eating out, like the things that you normally would maybe do would be wrapped into what a weekend includes, or, you know, whatever. They're starting to see drop-offs. Some restaurants are talking about seeing drop-offs, which is consumer spending, because consumer spending makes up more than two-thirds of our economy. And it really was pretty strong through April, even with inflation hitting some crazy historic highs. But now that streak could be coming to an end, and I think it's because of what's happened with gas, with everything. You put all of it together, and it's too much. It's too high. So even high-income Americans are pulling back. Certainly low-income Americans are doing that. People struggling are, for sure. And you can see it. And you can see it, too, probably by the amounts of sales. You know, there's something about sale, or two for one. Anything to get people in the door. And I know I've been looking around. I've been seeing that a lot more. You may be seeing that in your neighborhood as well. So it's a big couple of weeks coming up. We still have more of the January 6th committee, and they're warning that more violence is coming, that there's more in the future, and they're trying to tell people the truth is what they're saying on the committee. Congressman Adam Kinzinger, Republican from Illinois, was part of the Sunday swirl. He was on ABC this week, and he said, until we get a grip on telling people the truth, we can't expect anything differently. And he says, this is, you know, what we're seeing. Kinzinger, who went against party leadership by serving on the committee, said he got a message at home in the mail several days ago threatening to execute him, his wife, and their five-month-old baby. Wow, where are we living when that happens, even if you completely, vehemently disagree with what's going on with these, you know, committee hearings? Because I keep saying, what's the end game with this? What's the solution? What's the solution to protecting the Capitol from, I don't care who's president, from the future, anything happening? What's going on there? But this is going to continue. I mean, you know, January 6th committee hearings are continuing, so that's not stopping anytime soon. And in the middle of all of that, you have the Supreme Court, remember, talking about abortion because they had the leaky memo that came out, but the Supreme Court will issue more opinions next Tuesday and Thursday. 18 cases remain to be decided, including cases on abortion, guns, climate change, and religion in schools. I think with the abortion issue, and we already know this, it's going to get kicked back to the states, essentially. So much of the chunk of that is going back to the states. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen there for sure. And oh, by the way, it was Father's Day this past weekend, as I said, so I hope all the dads and great father figures out there had a happy, happy Father's Day. So important, those strong male figures in our lives. Absolutely. In whatever form that comes in, with grandfathers, etc. And even me, I lost my father at 8, but I had a strong father figure when he was in my life. Still love you, Dad. Stay with us.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
For just the facts as I know them to be true, I think anyway. Is there ever 100%? We live in the world of, is it a little gray area? And I think that frustrates a lot of people. And I know it can be frustrating. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it, especially depending on the subject that you are talking about. So let's just dive right into it. Just the facts. And just the facts start with this. How about what happened in Colombia? We talked so much about politics in the United States. Well, in Colombia, they have been through the ringer in a couple of different election cycles. So leftist Gustavo Petro, a former member of the M19 guerrilla movement, who is vowing social and economic change, won Colombia's presidency on Sunday. He's the first progressive to do it in that country's history. He is a former mayor of the capital, Bogota, a current senator, and he is pledging to fight inequality with free university education, pension reform, high taxes on unproductive land. He won 50.5% to the Petro construction billionaire Rodolfo Hernandez, who got 47.3% of the vote. So it was actually pretty close. And in that country, there was such a great push to go and vote, go and vote, go and vote. And anyway, that's how it all turned out. A very unusual ending because they had never had anyone from a progressive point of view at all in office. So there you go. That's a very, very, very big change. All right, speaking of big changes, lots of conversation always about what's going on at the border. Well, the Biden administration is saying they plan to bus migrants from some of these overwhelmed border towns to other areas of around the country. Busing them from border towns is one way. The Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas is saying he's going to ease the influx of those that are coming in through these towns. And on Monday, Representative August Pfluger from Texas sent a letter to Mayorkas voicing concern that the government is sending waves of migrants to San Angelo, a popular area in Texas, a town that he represents that doesn't have the infrastructure to handle the large amount of migrants that are coming in, which is then part of the problem. So now the Department of Homeland Security is saying they plan to bus them to Los Angeles, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Houston, Dallas, and other cities, right? But they were careful to say San Angelo, or Pfluger was, San Angelo is a welcoming community, but the locality hasn't volunteered for the mission. They can't be responsible. It's too many. They can't do it. So the busing will take the pressure off of a town like San Angelo. But how are the other cities going to feel about that? The bigger cities that, by the way, which you might not think there is some kind of an issue because they're not dealing with it. Well, now they're going to see thousands of people that they're going to have to deal with, and they're going to have to process and get through the process. So this is one to watch. Those are just the facts. The fact we don't know is how that's all going to unfold and what that's going to look like for those places. Because, wow, that is a big, big change. All right, this is just the facts. Absolutely, it's just the facts. Matt Fitzpatrick of England is a champion at the country club in Brookline, Massachusetts. He won an amateur championship, the amateur championship, the U.S. amateur championship in 2013, and then he won the U.S. Open championship on Sunday. He was in a three-way battle, really, that came down to the wire, but he took control with some incredible shot making, and I think the best shot he hit was clutch from a fairway bunker on the 18th that I thought for sure was going to cost him a stroke. It didn't. He nailed a big putt, and he knocked off the competition. Americans, Will Zalatoris was one of them because he was so close. He finished runner-up and played masterfully, too, but not good enough to win. So what does he get for winning the U.S. Open? Because remember, the last time he won an amateur, he won the U.S. Open amateur in 2013, he gets $3.15 million in prize money. And got the gold Jack Nicklaus medal draped around his neck. He's the second man to win a U.S. Amateur and U.S. Open on the same course. The other one who did it was the Golden Bear. And so how about that? Good for him. He briefly played at Northwestern University before turning pro. And it was exciting to see him, I think. With a big wide grin, although Zalatoris was pretty fun to watch too, and that ended up being, as I mentioned, a contest to watch because it came down to the wire. Just the facts as we know them to be true. This is interesting. Mike Pompeo. There's so much speculation about what's going to happen in 2024. Mike Pompeo, you remember him, former Secretary of State, said he's considering a run for the White House in 2024. He's praying on whether to take that step. He told Fox News on Sunday, "I'm working across the country helping folks get elected." And he says that he and his wife, Susan, are working, praying, and deciding how to best work for America as we move forward. And he certainly made some headlines while he was speaking at the Faith and Freedom Coalition's Road to Majority Policy Conference in Nashville. He was complimentary to his former boss, the former president, Donald Trump, because he served under him, but he spoke about his leadership roles, and he certainly had people talking about whether or not he was going to run in 2024. And like I said, he said he's praying and trying to make a decision on how does he best move forward and how can we get affordable energy prices and get the economy going again. He said that's part of what he's been talking about. This is pretty sad, but it is just the facts. We see these shootings over the weekend and during the week, but multiple people were shot at a Washington, D.C. intersection on Sunday night. The D.C. Police Department confirmed in a tweet that one of its officers had been shot. He's in stable condition, so that's the latest we have as of late Sunday night. So the good news there is that he's in stable condition, not good that he was shot. What a terrible, terrible thing. And how about this one? Warren Buffett's final charity lunch drew a record $19 million bid. So an anonymous bidder has shelled out $19 million for a private lunch with billionaire Warren Buffett at a steakhouse in New York City. The meal with the Berkshire Hathaway CEO was offered on an eBay auction to benefit the San Francisco-based charity Glide, which helps homeless people and those in poverty. The winner can bring up to seven guests. Buffett has raised $53 million for them since the auction began in 2000. The charity earned the billionaire support when his first wife introduced him to it after she started volunteering there. She died in 2004. And this year's event will be the first private lunch offered with the 91-year-old billionaire since the previous record-setting bid of $4.5 million by a cryptocurrency entrepreneur. The past two auctions were called off because of COVID-19 concerns. But Buffett said it's been great to have these lunches. He said he's met a lot of interesting people from all over the world. And the one universal characteristic is that they feel the money is going to be put to very good uses. That is an expensive lunch for seven people. $19 million, but great for the charity. And how about how much he's raised all together? All right, stay with us. I'll meet you on the flip side.
Just the facts, ma'am.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Many Americans are feeling their budget squeezed by soaring costs at the pump and on everyday goods as inflation continues to skyrocket to a 40-year high. This, as some economic experts and CEOs are cautioning, a recession could be on the horizon. Brian Deese, director of the National Economic Council, shares his thoughts about the future of the American economy while speaking on Fox News Sunday.
But as we move through this transition, not only is a recession not inevitable, but what we as policymakers can do is take steps to build on our unique strengths in the American economy and try to get to that stable and steady growth that we all want to get to as quickly as possible.
The National Retail Federation says consumers opened up their pocketbooks on Father's Day, spending roughly $20 billion on gifts. USA Radio News. The FBI says they're now going to be investigating attacks and threats of violence by pro-abortion groups. The Bureau releasing a statement saying they're investigating a series of attacks and threats targeting pregnancy resource centers and faith-based organizations across the country. A U.S. gas tax holiday is worth considering.
President Biden wants to do anything he possibly can to help consumers. Gas prices have risen a great deal.
That's according to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. Appearing on ABC's This Week, she explained that President Biden stands ready to work with Congress as gas prices spike to an average of $5 a gallon nationally. Some governors and state lawmakers have already put state gas tax holidays in place to help alleviate some of the pain at the pump. The federal gas tax sits at just over 18 cents a gallon. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I'm going to the man cave.
Going to the man cave. Going to the man cave. I'm going to the man cave.
Oh, the controversy gets thick here in the man cave over the LIV Golf tournaments. The inaugural event in London last week could have been suspended by the PGA Tour. The players, of course, have not been invited to participate in any PGA Tour events. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's a lot of money that went down from a Saudi-backed tour, LIV Golf Invitational Series. Phil Mickelson got $200 million, supposedly, just to sign up and be part of it at 50, and with all the tournaments that he's won, you know, another major championship just a little bit more over a year ago. Here we are at the U.S. Open, and there's a lot of conversation about this. Rory McIlroy, the Irish golfer, had this to say. He said he was disappointed that some PGA Tour players took the easy way out, he called it, and joined the rival LIV Golf Invitational Series. He said that he understands why older players could have been tempted by millions and millions of dollars in signing bonuses from this event, from these events, but he believes the younger ones made a very short-sighted decision by defecting because the PGA has booted them, essentially, right? And he said, you know, I get Phil in his early 50s. He may think his better days are behind him, but he still says, look, it was just over a year ago that he won a major championship, and it was impressive. And he said, I have the utmost respect for Phil. I'm disappointed with how he went about what he's done, but I think he's come back and shown some remorse how he handled things. So Mickelson is there with Rory McIlroy, by the way, competing in the U.S. Open, because the U.S. Open didn't care. If the golfers joined that tour, that was fine with them, but that's not the same as the PGA Tour. So Mickelson is there, and there are 16 other players who competed in the LIV Golf inaugural event in
in London, like I said last week, and they've been suspended by the PGA Tour. So it's gotten really interesting because who's done it? Dustin Johnson got a ton of money. Bryson DeChambeau got a ton of money. Pat Perez got a ton of money. And they initially had said they were pledging loyalty to the PGA Tour, but changed their mind. I mean, let's face it, once the money was there. The other thing that McIlroy said is he understands why families and friends of victims of the terrorist attacks of September 11th in 2001 would be upset that Mickelson and other players are accepting hundreds of millions of dollars in signing bonuses from this invitational league, basically, which is being financed by Saudi Arabia's public investment fund. Because, of course, we know why Osama bin Laden and 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudis. And he said, listen, I think everything that's happening with this tour, it legitimizes their place in the world. I'm not sure every Saudi Arabian is a bad person. We're talking about this in such a generalized way. And then he talked about spending time in the Middle East, I mean, this controversy is not going away. That, you know, that's the bottom line. Because it's not just the Americans playing in this. Graham McDowell played in it. Lee Westwood, Ian Poulter, they're all part of this too. And then what happens when you win, you get almost $5 million when you win the event. Plus they got signing bonuses. And it is about the money. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. It's about the money. And that's why Rory is saying he thought the younger people made a mistake because they took an easy way out, meaning they're taking fat money and they're not earning their stripes on the PGA Tour. It's interesting because I think there's also some people that would disagree with that, too. You know, the controversy over that is not going to go away. PGA Tour is upset. They don't have the money to, or they're not going to come up with the money to pay someone $4 million, almost $5 million when they win, in an individual check, when they win a tournament, and then the money even bigger all the way down the line. That's just not, it's not happening. If you missed the game last night, I think I talked about it on a previous show, but coming up on Thursday, the Warriors and the Celts, Golden State could become the NBA champions officially in Boston. But Boston's pretty tough. They are favored by 3.5 points in this one, and I don't know that they're going to let it close out that way. It was a great game by the Warriors on Monday. They turned up the heat. Andrew Wiggins was amazing, 26 points, and of course Steph Curry got his shots in, and they won 104-94. And some could say, well, they kind of escaped in that because you saw that Boston started to turn it up in that second half of that game coming out of the locker rooms, but it was just too late. They could not catch back up. But I think this next game is going to be tough. Look, it's they got the edge 3-2. Golden State has got the edge 3-2. So now you go into this next game, and of course Boston knows they got to win two more to win the championship, and they are hungry to do it. While they're hungry to do it, on the other side of things, we have the Stanley Cup coming up, the Avalanche and the Lightning trying to do a three-peat sort of thing here. I'm excited because I'm going to go to one of the Stanley Cup games in Bolt territory of in Tampa at Amalie Arena, and that would be game 4. So we'll see what that's like, because I think there's nothing like a crowd, whether it's the championship crowd, whether it's a Super Bowl, whether it's a Final Four, this scenario with the Stanley Cup or NBA championship. When you get down to the when you get down to the playoffs in general, but when you get down to the win or go home deal, like this is it, my team, your team, and here we go, it really is electrifying. The very few times that I've had the opportunity to do that, and I've never, as an adult anyway, sat in a crowd for Stanley Cup, so I'm got to say, here in the Man Cave, I'm pretty excited about that. And I know in my updated version of Invade the Man Cave, Sports Secrets Guys Don't Want You to Know, I'll be talking about what that experience was like. Major League Baseball has gotten pretty interesting. If you haven't gone out to see your hometown team, maybe you don't have one near you, maybe you have one of the minor league teams near you. Sometimes the minor league teams are more fun to watch, depending on what team it is and who are the up-and-comers, that kind of thing. But there's still time However, we certainly are seeing some things that are emerging, like losing streaks and terrible losing streaks and awesome win streaks that are happening. But I'm still kind of trying to, you know, look ahead. Like, I look at the Braves in the National League East, and, man, the Braves won their 12th straight game on Monday of this week. They beat the Nationals 9-5, even with losing their second baseman. So the Braves are tough, but they're not in first in the NL East. They're 5 games behind the New York Mets, so this certainly helps them. And then Philadelphia Phillies are 8.5 games back. But this shows you how you have enough series, enough wins in a row, you can turn around where you're kind of in the middle, or you're in the pack for the maybe, coulda, we might, who knows, what about the wild card, because it looks like the division is getting away. And we're seeing some of those kinds of trends really emerge. And also, like I said, losing skids too, where teams that were really in the thick of it have started to go in the opposite direction. Now, the Brewers beat the Nationals 4-1 to halt their 8-game losing streak on Sunday. So they needed that. I mean, they needed to end that skid. It was bleak, and they were cruising. So they're in a tight NL Central. They're a game and a half behind St. Louis, right? And this is previous to the upcoming games. But it's been fun in the last couple of years to watch the Brew Crew, and they've got some interesting series coming up. So it just depends on the teams that are coming up next for some of these teams that are getting back on that losing streak, getting back on that winning streak, rather, because you get to the halfway point and you get to the All-Star break, and it's the dog days, but it's also the, we got to win all these games. That's why in these series, it's so important not to get swept, because early on, thinking you can make up the time or you've had injuries, it doesn't help you. You end up having your back more against the wall than you can imagine, because it's the clock runs out. I mean, that's what happens. The clock runs out, and that's it. I need to give a shout out to the Belmont winner, because I don't even know if I talk very much about this. Horse racing is kind of in my blood. I talk about it in my book, Invade the Man Cave, that I have two cousins who are trainers, and my one cousin almost won the Triple Crown, just lost the Belmont by a nose with a great horse, Smarty Jones. That seems like forever ago. But Triple Crown veteran Todd Pletcher was really pretty excited about the Belmont finishes, because Mo Donegal pulled away down the home stretch and held off the filly Nest to win the stakes. So that gives Pletcher a 1-2 finish and his 6th Triple Crown victory, including 4 at the Belmont. The Belmont's been very sweet to him. And what happened with Mo Donegal, I love that name, rounded the 1.5 mile distance in 2:28.20, 3 lengths ahead of Nest. And then that was it. I mean, look, it's a smaller field. That's what happens. You have a lot of horses usually in the Kentucky Derby, and then it kind of shrinks. Mo Donegal beat an 8-horse field without a clear favorite, and entered the gate the betting favorite, though, at 5-2. So how about that? It was really a fun race to watch. If you haven't seen it, you can obviously plug it into whatever search engine and go back and watch the Belmont for sure. All right, with that, we are out of time already, just like that, here in the Man Cave. Remember, you can pick up my book on Amazon, Invade the Man Cave, Sports Secrets Guys Don't Want You to Know.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
Joining us now to talk about his book, Sitting on My Headstone, Let the Dominoes Fall, is Robert LaFond. Robert, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the road to writing this book. What made you write the book? How'd this come about?
Well, you've got two books there, Sitting on a Headstone and Let the Dominoes Fall. Sitting on a Headstone was, I guess I could say it was planned, but I started about 3 years ago. And I recognized that my three daughters, who are now in their 40s, really had never asked any questions about what their father did before he married their mother. What I did in the war or subsequently afterwards. So I figured the best way to do that would be to write in story form everything about where I came from, how I grew up, what led me into the Army and going to Vietnam. How I wrote letters to her mother, how we married, et cetera, et cetera. And it came out, I thought it came out very well.
And tell us about that. So in the book, what did you, you know, you talk about what you did before you got married, and you and I talked off the air, you really had some interesting things to say. Tell us a little bit about what's in Sitting on My Headstone.
Well, I start out in, I was born in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And we lived in a very small apartment. And it was second floor. And back in the 40s, it was right after the war. My mother and father had just married. And dad had a job, but it wasn't enough. He had to get a second job. The apartment was growing smaller as my parents had children. And when there were four of us sleeping in one bed, we moved to an apartment that was available, actually was half a height, available several miles away in another town. We grew up with the children adding up to nine. But in the course of all that, it was playing by the railroad tracks, by the old mill on the river, walking to school, yes, uphill in the snow, as the old story goes. And it was good. It was country living. I mean, I wouldn't call it civilized country. It was country living. All houses were built for the mill, the factory, that provided blankets and linens and things for the in the beginning of the Civil War. It changed over in time to fabric, and then eventually all that died away, and it started making fiberglass.
Wow.
As I grew up and got away from the village, I was 18 when I left. And that's when I joined the military, joined the Army. My dad was in the Army all the years that I was growing up. He was in the National Guard. And one of his greatest things to sit down and watch television was watching the war movies that were out. And every time he'd see the bombers and the planes on television, he'd point out to my brother and I, see, look at the tail of the plane, and you'll see the big A on the tail. And so that was his outfit. And that's where I had, that's where I got my desire to join the Army and become part of an aviation lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, and obviously sitting on my headstone, what a clever name, and I understand, you know, leaving this for your family, but what about for anybody listening to this conversation, reading it? What do you hope they take away from reading that book?
The story, it goes to show that the term sitting on a headstone, I use it in the book many times, particularly in Vietnam, and of course in combat in Vietnam and all the guys that are going in harm's way. It's that you're sitting on a headstone, and if you don't look down to see that your name's on the stone, no matter what you're doing, and you want to avoid winding up in the grave, so you do what you can, and sitting on a headstone, I think, is a story of endurance. Because I not only did my initial 12 months, I volunteered to do an additional six, which is at the end of the 6 months is how I was injured and how I spent time in the military hospitals, the VA hospitals, and eventually getting married and surviving through the PTSD that I sustained and the injuries that I sustained and how I lived through them. And I wanted my kids to know all that, because they don't ask questions. They're not curious in that respect. But I wanted them to know, in case they did get curious. They can at least, in time, be able to show their children, my grandchildren, something that their grandfather did. Probably different from what they may be living in their own neighborhoods, because let's face it, Vietnam veterans we're not few, but we're far in between, and many of them hide, and they don't talk about their experiences. I did. I decided I had to.
And I think that's one of the great gems of this book, is that not just for your family, but for others to know that and to understand that and hear those stories, I think is so, so valuable. And your other book, Let the Dominoes Fall, tell us about that. What's that about?
That's far and away different. it's based on current events. And at the time I started the book, current event was President Trump in the White House. It's based on the activities of the president and certain members of his cabinet who face a bit of retribution by another member in the House and the Senate who's looking to make changes. And I start the book out with a group of students graduating from a school, from high school, going on to college, and how their lives, though they become separated, begin to intertwine again. And they are the catalysts of the activity to try to straighten out the government. And each piece that I call a domino, and each one that falls is one step closer to the president.
Yeah. After writing both of these books, both very different, as you say, Robert, will you write another? Or do you have anything else kicking around in your head?
Oh, yes. I'm working on one now. And I have several waiting in USB drives. They could all use editing. They could all use a little bit of work, I suppose. But I tend to write about 150, 160 pages. I like the 6x9 format, and it's a story from beginning to end. Yeah, I guess you could add, if I wanted to, I could add to it. I could take away from it, but I would prefer to leave the books where they end and leave something left for the reader.
Yes, so well said. A great place to end this. But I just have one more question. Is this fun for you? It sounds like it is. If you've got things on drives and you're waiting, it sounds like this has been a real kick for you.
This is. The Headstone was a cathartic book. The others, anything that will come along now, is pure enjoyment. It's my imagination at work. I could do it in a story, 150, 60, 200 pages, or I could do it in a single page poem, or in just a single page, as I've been doing for the last 25 years, including a story in my Christmas cards. Rather than a calendar of events over the past year, I include a short story about Christmas and how it affects our people in the Christmas cards.
Nice. I bet people really look forward to that. So I'm assuming people can get Sitting on My Headstone, Let the Dominoes Fall, that other book as well, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold.
Yes. Yes, and it's also an ebook.
Ebook, too, as well, so yeah. Look for that. Robert, thank you so much. What a delight to get to talk to you, and thanks for everybody else for listening to this interview and this show. Make it count, everyone.
Feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.